Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're feeling what I'm feeling this morning, a hangover from not from any alcohol, but a hangover from this long, arduous battle. You know, I think that these races, these political races, are too long. They certainly, you know, too much money is wasted in them. And so I don't know, you know, I don't have the power to change that. And yet, after all of this, all of that money that was spent should send a message to all of us that it's unnecessary, right? We don't need to have almost $1 trillion invested in elections in one given time when that money could be better spent on food, as Dr. King once said, to fill the wrinkled stomachs of the people of the world, or to house them, you know, or again to clothe them. But there's something about our nation and our infatuation with attempting to brainwash the American people to vote in a manner that's in many instances against their best interests. And with that on the line, you know, Mr. Manny Perez, who was Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development under then Governor Scott Walker and Rebecca Clefish, and Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina, has joined us. So Manny, is as I asked you the question earlier, you being a Republican, and you said before we went to break that you know, there's something about the party that, and the makeup of it now, that you just don't agree with.
But the party has become an organization under the control of extremist groups, like religious groups, like Christian nationalists, or corporations, or charismatic leaders like Trump, that are more like Nazi leaders. In my opinion, one of the worst things that has occurred is the passing of legislation that corporations can be treated as people for donations during electoral processes. I think that is a big mistake, and I think that needs to be completely repealed. I think that term limits needs to be imposed, and the citizens need to get involved. Personally, I think that the Republican Party needs to go back to the times when it was pro-business and pro-people. There's nothing wrong with being pro-business, but being pro-business at the expense of people creates problems. You need to be pro-business and pro-people at the same time, and pro-nature. You need to be socially responsible. There's enough money to go around, and if everybody acts responsibly, then the system can work much better. But you cannot run an organization where the corporations are the ones that give the money to the party. The party then selects people to be put in the assemblies, and then they obey blindly if they know what's good for them. Because if they don't fit the agenda and follow the agenda blindly, then they get burned, which is what happened to me. I mean, I wanted to reduce poverty. I wanted to do things correctly. I wanted to empower people to succeed. And for companies, when workers are more productive, companies are more profitable. So companies and workers go hand in hand. And somebody, obviously, they did not like that. So, but we were getting great results.
So Manny, hang on. Let's go to Professor Bob Harvey from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning to you, Professor Harvey. I know it was a long night for you.
I haven't had any sleep, man. I've been up all night just monitoring the television, going between MSNBC and CNN and Fox News, just filtering through and looking at the data, and then going on the computer and looking online at stuff. So it's been fascinating to watch the democratic process work.
So let me ask you, Mr. Manny Perez, who's on the line from Florida, who again was the secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development under then Governor Scott Walker, and is a Republican. That you heard his response about the Republican Party of today. You're a historian. You say what, Professor Harvey? How close was he?
He's absolutely right about a lot of things. Most particularly, when Citizens United was adopted by the conservative Supreme Court, they automatically let in big money, unfettered, unchecked big money. And because they see corporations and those big multimillion-dollar donors, as individuals. And so as a consequence, they have bought out all of the chances for the people to speak. And the only thing that the people have left now to go against that is the power of the vote. And I don't know, just listening to the accent of his voice, maybe the Latino.
Yes.
But the Latino population, there's a gentleman from Florida who had to get out and give it up, and there was one also in Texas who quit because they are trying to accomplish the same thing that he wants to accomplish, and they see the Republican Party headed in another direction. He's right. They've gone towards an authoritarian and Donald Trump. Donald Trump has pretty much wrecked the American political landscape, not just the Republicans, but even the Democrats are in disarray because of it. The man is dangerous because he's a dictator. But Donald Trump just came along and pulled it all together. This has been happening for a long, long time. And I keep telling people that there has been a political dissent in this country since this nation's inception. If you remember, the first two major political parties occurred between 1789 and 1796 when George Washington was president, and he saw it. That's why in his farewell address in 1796, he warned against these political divisions and political alliances put together, and he also warned us against foreign alliances. Those had to change. But the political ranking and the division, he warned us against political parties because he could see the harrowing potential of divisive politics. He saw it in his cabinet. He saw Adams and his crowd on one hand with Alexander Hamilton, who were the centrists and believed in a strong federal government. They eventually became the Federalists, along with John Adams and Alexander Hamilton. And then on the other side was Thomas Jefferson and his group, who believed in the idea of states' rights and freedom of the individual over the state. And they became the anti-Federalists, your first political party. So even back then in the late 18th century, you saw that division. And it just grew. And eventually the parties changed. And then all of a sudden in 1854, there was a new party that occurred. It came out of parts of Wisconsin and Michigan. And that party was the Republican Party. And beginning in the election of 1860, in comes Abraham Lincoln, who is not opposed to slavery. He's opposed to the expansion. And all of a sudden, when the moment he's elected, South Carolina seceded, and six other states followed. And then after Lincoln calls up a federal volunteers, military volunteers, to go in and put down that insurrection in South Carolina and in some, several other states, four other states joined: Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky, and they joined. Four other slave states stay in the Union, either by military force or by choice, being Missouri, Kentucky, Delaware, and Maryland. They stayed in the Union. And as a result, you had a divided country. And Lincoln, that civil war that was fought between 1861 and 1865, many of the attitudes that we have today have grown out of that dissension, because the civil war we never healed. And that dissension and divisiveness comes along, and a person like Donald Trump, who's not smart enough, by the way, to conjure this up, he just jumped on the bandwagon and led it. What he did is he played to hate, frustration, and fear. And divisiveness unites people more than anything else, especially when you can make people feel, at a vulnerable time, you can make them feel that somehow you're going to make things all right by hating on the other guy.
So, Professor
Harvey. And so that's what he's done.
So, Professor Harvey, hang on. Manny, you want to respond to what Professor Harvey is saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. I will be very brief. What you saw last night in the gubernatorial election is that you saw many Republicans in the WOW counties, rural counties, voting for Governor Evers. Why? Because there are many, many Republicans. It is just that they are not voiced. They are not vociferous. There are many Republicans who are disappointed and who are actually angry at what has occurred with the Wisconsin GOP. My vision for the Wisconsin GOP is a party that is pro-business, that is pro-people, that is pro-nature, where it's more in the center, center-right, so that you negotiate solutions that benefit all the different stakeholders. That's what should be, not that benefit one single political actor. So I completely agree with what the gentleman is saying. Thank you.
So Professor Harvey, Manny, hang on. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Wisconsin, but across the nation, is it safe to say it was a repudiation of the Republican Party as we now see it? Because, you know, they were expecting, you know, this landslide. They were absolutely sure that they had controlled the minds of people who called themselves Republicans, and that they knew the pulse of those people who call themselves Republicans. They also were trying to mislead people to believe that Black and Latino voters were going to be switching over to the Republican Party in masses. What was the truth, Professor Harvey? What transpired yesterday?
Quickly, the first is that the Republicans are going to win the House. There's no doubt about that. They're going to win it. Probably it's going to end up being 220 to 215, just based upon what I have observed, you know, and just looking at the projections. The second is that the Democrats will probably, they may end up holding the Senate. If it comes down to a runoff between Warnock and Herschel Walker, Warnock will probably win that. With the help of Stacey Abrams, because she's a great organizer, he'll probably win just like he did, last time around. Right. And then, of course, Americans, and another message that was sent, that Americans are tired of the political party rancors. I sense that just listening to the people that they interviewed and people that had come in. I went to my wife and I went to early voting a few days ago, and people standing in line, they're just sick and tired of the rancor. They're fed up with it. The fourth thing is that Donald Trump was a loser last night.
Yeah, he was.
He probably lost a third of that 74 million people that voted for him in 2020. The fifth thing is that Democrats need to learn their lesson on how to read the political tea leaves. They just haven't learned to do that yet. They blew several of them. That's why they lost those four House seats in New York, of all places. They just didn't have the guards to pick up on it. Hillary Clinton blundered in 2016 because she didn't pay attention to Wisconsin, she didn't pay attention to Pennsylvania, and she didn't pay attention to Michigan, and she lost all three, and Donald Trump walked in, even though she won by 2.2 2.9 million popular votes. She just didn't pay attention to details, and the Democrats didn't either. And, of course, the Democrats need to learn how to pick winners. Some of them people, for example, like Hobbs in Arizona, I'm not impressed with her. I wasn't from the beginning, and I think that, you know, they need to pick individuals that look like a winner. They need to go out and find them. There are plenty of young Democrats out there that need to pull in, and they need to go ahead and do that. And then, of course, you know, a seventh thing is they need to start ignoring the polls. All the darn polls are wrong.
Yeah, they are.
And they went out there, and on every channel they were wrong. On every channel that I saw, whether it's conservative or whatever, they were wrong. You know, and a lot of that is propaganda of trying to drive people from the polls saying there's no hope, the Republicans are going to sweep. Well, they didn't. And that brought us to the eighth thing. The Republicans, even though arrogantly, you know, McCarthy was arrogantly bragging about how they swept, you know, they're going to now get retire Nancy Pelosi and take the gavel away from her, they're not going to be able to do much with it anyway because Joe Biden is the president. And even if they manage to eke out the Senate by 51 to 49, the bottom line is that they still don't have a veto-proof majority. That they can impeach, they can hold hearings, they can go after Hunter Biden, they can even, you know, they can impeach Biden because the House has the sole power to impeach. People forget that. But the bottom line is it won't go anywhere. And I guarantee you, if they do that and they don't bother to legislate like they're supposed to, in 2024, there will be a referendum, and the Republicans will lose big because the American people, if there's one thing that comes out of all this, is that the American people are sick and they're tired. And then the other thing is that the Democratic Party, and I've said this before, Earl, for years, the Democratic Party does not know how to lead. They just don't know how to lead. The Republicans, because they're so dangerous, they're not fit to lead. So you got two parties that are dysfunctional. And if there's one thing, message that the American people sent home in this election was that they're sick and tired with pretty much of both parties because neither one has delivered. The Democrats tried, but not a single Republican in most of these issues that came up, whether it was with the environment or the inflation or anything else, or health care or whatever, they didn't come up with a single idea to help get those pieces of legislation passed through. The Democrats had to do it on their own. And so it's unfortunate that our nation is at this impasse. But right now, the people that are fighting for our democratic way of life are the American people. And that's the crown jewel in this whole message or this, it was a mess. It is a mess. This political process right now is a mess. It is a mess. But the American people are getting sick and tired of it, and they are beginning to make some changes.
So, Manny, you want to respond to anything Professor Harvey just said?
Yes, certainly. Just as an added commentary, I think two lessons need to be learned by the Democratic Party from this process. Is one, that they need to improve communication with the people, real communication. Number two is that the level of connection by sensing people's needs and what they want and what they are feeling needs to improve, because there was a problem here and on President Biden explaining to the nation why he had to do certain things. For example, connecting the issue of gas prices to Russia, explaining to the American people, okay, when Russia started the war, why didn't you activate the Alaskan pipeline to maintain the prices down? You know, communication and sensing people's pain. Because, you know, people right now, they cannot buy many groceries, they can't pay rent. There's a lot of issues that hit some people. In fact, they're very loyal, but they still voted for the Democratic Party because they knew in comparison.
So, Manny, hang on. Professor Harvey, hang on. We've got to go to a short break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Mr. Manny Perez from Miami, Florida is on the line. And Bob Harvey, Professor Bob Harvey from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm glad they're both here. You know, Manny, you were saying before we went to break, you want to continue that thought.
Yeah, I was indicating that the two lessons for the Democratic Party right now would be, one, do a better job in communicating, and two, a better job at sensing people's needs, because people are getting hit with higher prices on meat, milk, rent, and everything. So, in fact, you can thank the political culture of the American people that they still voted Democrat, because they were being pounded and exploited to vote Republican on the basis of issues that affect the kitchen and the stomach. I also think that there is a lesson to be learned here by President Biden, which is to pay attention to the advice of economic advisors, because I am surprised, and I will not know because I was not there, but you know, the economic advisors, particularly the ones in the Treasury, should have advised President Biden, look, you may need to reconsider the policy in relation to the Alaskan pipeline and consider reopening it, because this whole thing with Russia is going to affect gas prices. So, I mean, those are lessons to be learned, okay, which must be learned, because in 2 years you're going to have a presidential election. The other question that is a very fundamental for Wisconsin is, okay, what are the things that need to be achieved very quickly as of today for Wisconsin so that 3 years from now, before the next election, everybody feels that things are better off? That's the big question, big question.
So how can you possibly make that happen when Democrats only control the gubernatorial seat?
Well, there's going to have to be a lot of negotiation. There's going to have to be a lot of negotiation and force it. Force it using the executive power or using the gubernatorial power like Evers will do here in the veto. But you need to advance those proposals and present those proposals to the people of the U.S. so that it becomes very clear who is opposing those proposals that would benefit them, and they will not forget in the next election. Just like you just saw, the people in rural Wisconsin, they have not forgotten about Walker and Clifford, and they have not forgotten about who brought broadband to rural Wisconsin. So they may be way up there, but they are keeping count. We should not underestimate it. People are keeping count.
You know, Professor Harvey, when you look at this thing, even on a national scale, and the Republican Party, does it lick its wounds and look to change internally, or does the Republican Party just double down and continue to move forward in a direction that they're going in, and that's to continue to attempt to fool the people into believing that their policies are there to benefit the American people. I think, Professor Harvey, that many, be they Democrats or Republicans, kind of know the truth and realize that, and we were talking about this the other day, Professor Harvey, that there has to be a new American dream. Because whatever that is, that's going to have to be created and developed, Professor Harvey, because the American dream of what you and I and Manny grew up in is no longer there. Professor Harvey?
And that's what we're talking about. The inflation is worldwide. It's not just in the United States. And if anyone thinks that the inflation that's felt in China, in Europe,
yep,
with the economic union and with Great Britain, in Russia, It's been felt all over the world. And if people don't understand that, then I would agree with Mr. Perez. We have to sit there and explain that. But the American people need to understand, because there's certain the news is out there, they maybe just don't want to hear it. Either they've been led to sleep by all these networks that are giving out false information. Because everybody's talking about this inflation. As it turns out, one of the hidden jewels that caused the act so funny the way they did this time around was the idea of abortion rights.
Yes.
Women giving up their rights, you know, because some medieval minded, you know, Republicans in these state legislatures and in the Supreme Court decided they were going to tell them what to do with their body. In other words, the state is coming in telling you what you can do with your body as a woman in this country. And it was not just, you know, the political parties and other people that were asleep on this thing. It's also many women who vote, like Lake and others, who vote Republican, who vote against their own interest. It's the same is true with the welfare state. I mean, we Americans who are retired, man, I'm a retiree and so are you. Well, as a retiree, you know, you paid for that something. That's not something that was just handed down as some gift. We paid for that, and we're still paying into it. I still pay taxes every year. My wife and I, we pay taxes. So we are still paying for that. And yet the Republicans are making plans to do away with that. That's why I say a lot of this complaining is not, and it has nothing to do with economics. It's about ideology. Yes, it's difficult at the pump. It's difficult at the table. But not all of this is about economics, because if it were, the largest voting bloc, most consistent voting bloc for the Republican Party over the last 40
years
has been elderly whites.
Yeah.
Yet they are voting against their own interests and continue to put people like Ron Johnson and Tim Ryan and others when he was there, because that was his boy, to go out there and get rid of the entitlements. And that's what the Republicans are campaigning on, getting rid of entitlements. Those individuals, those people get out there and still vote for those folks. I saw it in the line the other day out there at that fire station here in Indian Trails where we were voting. They actually were going to support these fools. And they were blaming all their problems on immigration. And they were basically talking about coming from the southern border and the whole bit. This is North Carolina. And my thing is, I'm sitting there talking to my wife, Ms. Byrne, not to start a fight in the line. You know, she was in North Carolina. What the devil did she worry about somebody coming across the border? We have always tried to blame immigrants for our own problems. So there is a sickness that we have in this country to blame somebody else for our own fault. And to sit here and claim that inflation is bad, yes, it is bad. But it's bad for all of us. And it's something that's interlinked. I want to tell people one thing up there. They're concerned about economics, and they want to talk about Buy American and the whole bit. Christmas is coming. And on Christmas morning, I want most American citizens to go look under the tree and look at the boxes of their toys that they got
China.
And all the gifts they got.
From China.
Look on there and see what it's made.
Yeah.
Made in China. If we were that concerned about buying and building American, we would never even buy that stuff in the first place. So we're a bunch of hypocrites a lot of times. See, I have a lot of fault also with the American people to stop blaming others. And as sad as it may seem, all of the stuff that Bush has accomplished, I heard the people on MSNBC, and I wanted to reach on the screen and smack all of them. About five of them sitting there talking about Biden has been there for 2 years. Tell the darn truth. The man hasn't been there 2 years, Earl. Do the math. He came in on January 21st, on January 20th of 2021. Presidents are elected on an even year, and they don't take office until the odd year. Get it right. He's been in office at least 1 year and 10 months. He hasn't been there 2 years. And yet he's accomplished four or five pieces of major legislation to help the American economy out that won't go into effect until next year. But not a single Republican voted for it. And then the other thing is about crime. How stupid can we get? Did we watch January 6th? I did. And I saw a civil war all over again. So when we sit here and want to turn a blind eye or listen to all this garbage on the news, all the networks lie. All of them do. Either that or they don't tell the truth, because if they did, they would sit down with Belshin and others who have a good eye for economics to explain to the American people what inflation is. It's not all Biden can't do all that by himself. And his administration, because the people aren't necessarily listening to them. And then the Republicans come back with a counter and lie. And when you talk about balancing the budget, the Republicans have never balanced the budget. Ronald Reagan started that in 1981 when he came into office. And guess what? He was the first $1 trillion deficit president in 1983. By the time he and Bush got through, they had run the economy up $4 trillion in debt. The Republicans didn't say a darn thing about that. When Bush got in there and ran up all that, those debts, fighting two wars that he didn't pay for, they didn't say a thing about that. Donald Trump ran up a $7 trillion deficit in 4 years, and they didn't open their mouths. So let's stop being hypocritical. Let us stop being hypocritical. When we stop lying to ourselves and letting people lie to us without questioning them, and start following this blind eye, then that's when we're going to start seeing some things happen. And I think of what happened this election, and now I'm very critical about this, because just observing it, I realized there was some magic taking place. The American people spoke, whether they voted Democrat, Republican, or Independent, they are, and they want change. And if these politicians, Democrat and Republican, aren't smart enough to see it, they're
going
to have hell to pay come 2024.
Professor Harvey, hold that thought. Manny, you want to respond to anything Professor Harvey just said?
Absolutely. Just as an added commentary, I completely agree with him. In summary, the American people need policies that are going to help them. No policies in which one organization or another try to impose on them their own specific vision of reality. And so we need policies that work for everybody. Like I said before, there's nothing wrong between a healthy relationship between workers and the business owners and the companies, but they need to work together. This business of keeping them divided is just hurting everybody. My vision for the Republican Party is one in which companies and workers are together on the same boat, producing, saving money safely, and taking care of nature, because we're destroying nature as we speak. And for Wisconsin, there are specific needs, specific things that need to be accomplished in the next 3 years, which is particularly bringing companies into northern Wisconsin, into the north side of Milwaukee, and the south side of Milwaukee. That needs to be addressed immediately to create anchor companies that, or bring companies that will be anchor industries in those areas to increase labor demand.
But doesn't that require then a partnership between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party to say, listen, we need to put the rest of this on hold. We need to do what's in the best interest for the American people, for the people of the state of Wisconsin, for the people of the state of North Carolina, for people of the state of Florida. Isn't that easier said than done?
It is easier said than done, but the power resides in this moment on the base, on the Republican base. The average Republicans that are on the different counties, they need to take control of their local chapters and start electing people that work for them, not people that are finger-pointed by another power somewhere else. They need to take control. Because what happens in the local countries is that, yeah, you're electing people in the party, but the reality is that they are finger pointed. They are appointed pretty much by the Wisconsin GOP. And that happens like that everywhere. So the Republican base needs to become active and take.
For a while, inside we knew our love was true for a while. We paid no mind to the past.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And it's good to have Manny Perez from Miami and Professor Bob Harvey from North Carolina on the line. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Earl. Manny, I have a question for you, actually. I want to know, I am a proud SDR Democrat, and I just want to know how it is maybe that some of your policies or what it is that you believe in tie in with, you know, the president that won four terms, four elections, you know, was there for all of the people. It wasn't just a Democratic president. He was there for all the people. I want to know how it is that your policies on the right or the middle, compare and contrast with FDR. Because it sounds to me like you do want to do what's best for the country. And I understand if we have a difference of opinion, that's not an issue. But I just look at what FDR did as a blueprint of what it is that we should be doing in government. And I think that his policies today would still work, except for the fact that we would strengthen Medicare and Medicaid, and we would actually have Medicare for all, like all the other countries. I'm just wondering what your opinion is on that, because you seem like a very sensible type of Republican that I could actually talk with. And I also would like to know if you agree that we should get money out of politics.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you. May I respond?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Excellent question. Yes, I do think that we need to take money out of politics and implement very stringent limitations on the amount of money that is allotted or allowed for electoral campaigns, because this is completely out of control. You could have taken all of that money and reduced the inflation and help people with rents and with different things instead of having to print more money. So I completely agree. Take it out or put very strong limitations. In relation to the question of FDR, there was a time when the Republican Party was very much aligned to people and did very strong things, like, for example, Teddy Roosevelt, you know, with the anti-monopoly and the antitrust laws. The problem is that the current Republican Party, and I think that started with Reagan, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it has just become under the control of a whole bunch of extremist groups, you know, white nationalists and survivalists and religious, you know, the Lord is coming down tomorrow and we gotta control everything. And then you got individuals like Trump, you know, that have more like a Nazi profile than anything else. So I think that is possible. Let me give you a couple of examples which I tried unsuccessfully to implement. Let's talk about, for example, the drug addiction and food stamps. I was completely an advocate of, for example, saying, yes, we're going to test an individual that is receiving food stamps. However, we're going to do this in a medically correct manner, not in a punitive manner. The way that Walker implemented it was a punitive manner. The correct way is to treat the issue as a medical issue. People that are on the drug addiction tend to relapse three times within the first year and a half before you can see starting changes. So, for example, okay, we're going to give you the food stamps, we're going to give you medical assistance, we're going to enroll you in a worker training program, we're going to assign you to a company where you're going to work, and we understand that there may be some relapses, you know, you will be allowed three, okay? And you're going to be monitored every so often, because our goal is that you get into a career. Let's say you start, I mean, there's nothing prevents a person from starting in forklift operator and end up as a supervisor of line. Nothing prevents that. And so that is a way of using center-right, center-left, what you would call normally, policy. You see? For example, the same thing with Medicare. We're gonna use the medical assistance for the purpose that it was created. We're gonna help the people, empowering the person to become self-sufficient. And the same thing can be done with many different things, with drug addiction and alcohol. That's a very specific example that I worked on. I was heavily criticized for it.
You know, Professor Harvey, is it safe to say, Professor Harvey, that yesterday, and as you stated, we still don't know the outcomes of these things, and we may not know until Saturday or Monday, a clear message has been sent. And I don't care whether the Republicans, get 225 seats at Congress, and the Democrats or the Republicans have a 51 to 49. None of these things are going to change anything from the perspective of nothing's going to get through. And so after all of this and the celebrations and all of those things, Professor Harvey, nothing changes for the people who need change, you know, the most. And so these two parties, it's time to move on from this two-party system. Will it ever happen? I mean, look, Netanyahu is back, right? I mean, the more things... You would have thought that Netanyahu would be gone forever, but yet he's back on the scene. Things aren't changing the way they need to change. Do the people have the power, Professor Harvey, truly, to change these things, or is it too late? The people with the money are not going to give up, you know, their fiefdoms, you know, so readily. We've got to go to a break. Manny, thank you very much. We'll talk soon. Really appreciate you taking the time out. Professor Harvey, hang on. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.